Metaphysics seems to float around in the cause and effect realm. The mystics seem to stick with what is. It's an inside job. Part one is archived, and today, part two with Joel Goldsmith. I'm Robin Clare. Stay tuned. This is Tributaries.
The moment we withdraw our attention from out there and say, how can I place my faith in that dead stuff out there when I have the creative principle of all life within me? And then the moment you cut that off, you find this thing takes over in here. Yes, yes, it works in miracle ways. But there's a principle. Now, many people wonder why you can't have prayers and medicine too. You can, but it's somewhat like our friend Mark Twain said many years ago when he sailed for Europe and on the steamer was taken quite ill. And when he got off on the other side, the reporters met him and said, oh, Mr. Twain, Mr. Clemens, we have many, many cables here from your friends in America saying to tell you that they were praying for you from the moment they heard you were sick. And he said, I hope you will cable back and tell them that I'm sure their prayers did me no harm. And you can be equally certain that most of those prayers did him no good. Why? That type of prayer has no value. How can it have? There's no principle behind it. How can you pray God to heal me and say at the same time, God, I want you to heal me, but I certainly don't have any faith that you can, because I'm going to take this aspirin just the same to make sure. Oh, ye of little faith, if you only had as much faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be thou cast into the sea, and it would be. Oh, ye of just enough faith to say, please, God, heal me, and I'm taking the aspirin to be certain. No, no, no. It isn't that God has anything against medicine. It isn't that everything on earth is in some part of God's creation. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with us. It has to do with a state of consciousness. Now, the master, isn't it strange? We've taken the master for our example and our way shower, and we just believe about everything he told us. When it came to healing, his question was, do you believe that I can do this thing? And when the disciples couldn't heal, he said, it was because you didn't have enough faith. And again, he told about the little grain of mustard seed that would move mountains. And then we're told in Jerusalem he did not many mighty works because of their unbelief. And then we turn around and say, please give me a spiritual treatment, but don't take my aspirin away from me or my cathartic. Now, I'm just for the sake of getting back to the master, what do you think his attitude would be if we went to him and asked for a healing, and he said to us, do you believe that I can do this? And you said, certainly, as long as I can take this medicine too. You know what the answer would have been. Well, choose ye this day whom ye will serve. Now, we in the metaphysical field have a tremendous responsibility. For years and years and years, the metaphysical field has been shrinking and getting smaller. And justly so, it has deserved it. Because without healings, there's no excuse for it. Just for Orthodox religion, can't make any difference which church you go to. They're all the same. They just have different forms of ceremonies and beliefs, but as far as any real religion is concerned, they're all on the same level. If you're looking for a promise for what will happen to you after you're dead, go to any of them. But if you're looking for immediate demonstration in your health or in your supply or in your harmony of living, you must come to those of the truth teachings that can prove by their work that they are showing forth the activity of the Christ. Now, it is for that reason that we don't fill these seats. It is only because we haven't been able to convince even our own relatives that this thing works. That's all. If as many people as were in this room at this moment could prove only to the members of their own household that this works, there wouldn't be room here for them all. And that doesn't take in their friends and acquaintances and neighbors. And you know it, and I know it. It's a fact all over. When we begin to show forth what this will do for us, we bring 1, 2, 12, 20, 30, 50 right along with us into the work, because the world is hungry for harmony. The world is hungry for help, for protection, for safety, and they have no way to turn. Their own churches have failed them, and they know it. And they have no other place to turn than to the truth movements today. They've even been trying psychology the last few days, the last few years, and finding disappointment in it. And now the literature is turning back again to the mystical, transcendental, to the spiritual. People are looking no more to the power of right thinking. They are looking now to those of the great teachings where God was brought in as the real power. That is why such books have come into existence as Man and God, Perennial Philosophy, Men Who Have Walked with God, Letters of a Scattered Brotherhood, last week a new one on the market, The Mystical Way. All of those books, none of them metaphysical, but all of them at least point to a fact that if you can make your conscious oneness with God, if you can bring yourself to the realization of God, that the harmony of life begins to appear. Now people are turning to that type of literature because they have found that their right thinking isn't the answer, that their pushing around of thoughts here and thoughts there isn't the answer, that actually God is the answer. But you see, just a few little truth movements remain where God is the central theme. God is the only power. And so we have to demonstrate that. Now then, we will succeed, we can succeed, in the very instant where we break the contact with belief or faith in the outer realm. In that very moment when you say, I'm through with that medicine out here, with that vitamin, with that mineral, I am looking not to bread, but to the Spirit of God to feed me, to sustain me, to uphold me. In that moment that you withdraw your gaze, even if the first break is difficult for a day, a week, a month, even if it is difficult, make the break. I'm not speaking now to beginners. They can be excused if it takes a little longer for them to see it. I'm talking to truth students, to people who for years have looked to this for help and may be wondering why they haven't received it or haven't received it to the degree that they expected. And here's one of the reasons. They're trying to swim across the lake but hold fast to the shore. You can't do that. You can't do that. You got to start out and sink or swim. Of course, in this case, it really doesn't make any difference whether you sink or swim. Because sinking or swimming, as long as your faith is in God, you're perfectly all right. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for God goes with me. So what difference whether we sink or swim? If we sink, the waters can't drown us. Isn't that wonderful? Even if we sink, the waters can't drown us. Even if we burn, the flames cannot kindle upon us. Why? I am in the midst of thee, and our faith is in that I, in that center of our being, in that divine consciousness. Now it's up to us. You've got to choose sooner or later. Sooner or later you've got to choose, and it might as well be sooner. Everyone has got to come to that point where they are willing for divine grace to take over. But divine grace won't take over while we're holding to something on the outer plane. And as long as our dependence is on personal thing rather than on the activity of truth in our consciousness, our demonstrations will not be made. Now here we have what none of these mystical teachings have. You see, in the mystical teachings, all these books that I've recited, they're all about people who realize the presence and power of God by grace itself without even knowing how it happened or why. We are not in that category. And so if we are to come to grace, we have to come through knowing how and why. And so you won't find this in those books. You won't find how it is that the mystics came to that place of divine grace where the Spirit of God took over. But I can tell you how it's done. It's done in that second where you withdraw your faith and confidence from the person or thing or circumstance outside and say, from now on, the kingdom of God within me is my Christ, my support. Oh, wait till next week. Wait, wait until you start into this subject of the Christ. Wait, and then you'll know what I'm talking about, what I'm leading up to, what I've been so badly trying to say all week. But you'll know it once we get into the subject of the Christ, where you really experience the flow in your whole heart and soul and mind and body of a feeling, of a substance, of an essence that perhaps you never dreamed was already established within you, ready to start out on its flow. Kept dammed up because you are holding on to something out here and thereby keeping this squeezed in. Now, between now and next week, please, if you hope to benefit at all by our future work, begin to understand that your own reliance on person, place, or thing is the blocking point that might prevent you from the thing you're trying to achieve. You see, God doesn't get in our way. The only thing in the world that can prevent anyone's demonstration is what takes place within them. Not what enters from without, but what goes out from within. In other words, what state of thought or what state of consciousness you are in. The same Spirit, the same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Peter tells us, raised up the man at the temple gate beautiful. Well, that's the same God. There's no different God today. It's the same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Before them, it was the same God of Krishna and Buddha. Before them, it was the same God of somebody else. And now it happens to be our God. It's the same God, the same principle, the same law. The only difference is that somebody in those days, one with God was the majority, somebody in those days had enough faith to stop relying on material means and say, the kingdom of God is within my own being. Well, now we come to that place of recognition. Do you believe that this was the Word of God? Do you believe that this was truth? Do you believe that this is the Word as it is given to us in Scripture? Do you believe that this is the very message that our Master was giving on the shores of Galilee? Do you think that at that time he also was saying, we do not live by bread alone, but by every word of God? Do you believe that he was saying at that time, as you're hearing tonight, that we have water within our own being that's greater than all the water that's in Jacob's well? Do you believe that when he was in the wilderness, tempted, and said, get thee behind me, Satan, because I don't need an external demonstration. I have one within. That he was telling you the same thing that I'm telling you tonight. That I'm not saying one new word to you tonight. I'm merely bringing back to your attention the same message, the same mission, the same trust that he gave to his people, repeating to you all over again that unless you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, not faith in pills and powders and vitamins and food, not faith in banks and trust companies and bonds, but unless you have faith that the kingdom of God is within you, unless you have faith, understanding that God has given itself to you, Son, all that I have is thine. Unless you can realize that, don't you know that the whole message and the whole mission of Christianity is lost again? Yeah, it's later than you think. It's later than you think, because the whole world stands on the brink of a mental volcano. The whole world stands on the brink of placing its last bit of faith for survival in a bomb, in an atom, in something that's less than an atom, a busted up atom. Placing its whole faith for survival in that. You know right well that that's a bad crutch to lean on. You know right well that the Master gave you as his instruction, those who live by the sword will die by the sword. And so if you could wipe out every enemy that exists on earth today with atomic bombs or hydrogen bombs, don't you know under the law of the Master that you've just sealed your own doom? Don't you know that when the bomb fell on Hiroshima, the Third World War began for us? The loss of 100,000 men. Why are we losing 100,000 men? Why, we lived by an atomic bomb over Japan. We're dying today because the same bombs over Korea. Why don't we believe the Master? Why don't we understand that when he tells us, if you live by the sword, you'll die by it. If you live by bread, the chances are you'll die of indigestion. Yes, let's understand that. If you live by outer things, you die by outer things. You've got to, in the end, learn to live by my word. If you abide in me and let me abide in you, abide by in my word and let my word abide in you. This word of truth, not in the book, but up here in consciousness, and say, this word in my consciousness is food and medicine. This word in my consciousness is the strength of my bones and of my blood and of my flesh. This word in my consciousness, not those serums out there, this word taken into my consciousness becomes the substance of life, the activity of life. Someday the world has got to believe that, man. And this is as good a day as any other. We're going to have our meditation. As a story comes down to us from the ancient Orientals of a married couple who had come through some inner conversion to the spiritual path. And they had come to the realization that life was a fulfillment from within. And because both had realized that at the same time, they gave away their possessions and decided to go out and live on the road from within through grace. They felt they didn't need any particular home site. They would just travel, just walk, wherever they wanted, and enjoy themselves as they went and live by this inner grace. One day the husband was walking a few feet in front of the wife when he bent over and picked up something, looked at it, rubbed his robe, looked at it again, put it into his pocket. His wife came up, tapped him on the shoulder and said, "What was that you picked up?" "Well," he said, "it was a diamond." "Oh," but she said, "I noticed that you rubbed the dust off and threw it away. Was the diamond any more valuable than the dust?" And that's our lesson. There's one thing in the outer realm, any more valuable to us than another, or is all of the value the divine grace within our own being? Thank you.
This is Jello in Honolulu. We have just been editing this tape and others on the subject of spiritual prosperity. And in this connection, I would like to give you a helpful study. It appears in The Infinite Way Messenger of July 1952. In it, there are certain Bible passages which, when realized in consciousness, become the substance and activity and law of our daily experience. I should like to share with you some that have helped students to make the transition from the up and down of human existence to the straight and narrow of spiritual existence. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Divide this passage, giving each part special study. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Here you bring to yourself the full meaning of trusting in the infinite invisible, with complete surrender of fear or doubt. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Here is your renunciation of self, of personal powers, of personal strength or wisdom, of personal goodness, in the knowledge that God, the mind of you, is the infinite intelligence and law unto your affairs. In all thy ways acknowledge him, thereby agreeing that God is the source of our supply. God is the bond that links us with our fellow men and women, with animals and minerals. God is the activity of our body and business. God is the attraction in all human relationships. God is the only government, and so on through every avenue of our existence until the demonstration appears of him directing every path for us. Luke 4, 4. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Here is another foundation stone in the message of the infinite way. Over and over, until it becomes the very part of our being, we must remember, declare, realize that we do not live alone by the effects, such as food, vitamins, minerals, money, investments, nor are we protected alone by bomb shelters, blackouts, mountain caves, or armament, but rather that our lives, our safety, our security are dependent upon our consciousness of truth. The Word of God in our consciousness is the bread of life and the safety and security of life. Our dependence is never an effect in any form, not even on a book called the Bible or its steel plates, but on every word of God, or rather, on our awareness of every word of God. Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. There cannot be too many reminders of the truth that our outer experience is harmonious in proportion to our mind resting in God, to our faith, reliance, and understanding being at rest in him, to our continuous realization of the Christ as the very life, substance, activity, and law of our being and body. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Let us divide this passage also, and give a careful study for many weeks to come. It will repay us well. Peace I leave with you. It must come as something of a surprise to learn that the Christ peace has already been left with us. It has already been given to us, and we are still seeking it. Can we awaken now and accept what has been left with us, given to us, and which we foolishly are still seeking? Can we now rest more in Him? Can we relax more and realize that the Christ peace is ours, no longer to be sought or prayed for? Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Here is a passage essential to our understanding. We know what peace the world can give: ample supply, good health, a family, a nice home, vacations, investments. But have we realized that this is not the peace that Christ promises us? Or have we looked at our nice new car or home or position and thought that here indeed is the peace that passeth all understanding? Awake, students of the infinite way. I am trying with every breath of me to turn your thoughts away from the peace of this world to the Christ peace, my peace, the spiritual embodiment of heavenly good. Come now, take this step with me out of the worldly peace into the spiritual kingdom. Isaiah 30:15. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. Seek not for strength or health in thoughts, in statements, in declarations, but in quietness and confidence. In times of pain, sorrow, discord, sit down or lie down, and instead of letting the mind race with metaphysical thoughts, rest, relax. Say to the mind, peace, be still, and just rest back on that spiritual pillow in quietness and in confidence. And finally, dear friends, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. And your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. My warm alohas, Joel.
Joel Goldsmith, Christian mystic who passed in 1964. For any guest information, to listen to archives, share resources, and sign up for weekly programming, it's tributariesradio.wordpress.com. And for podcasting, iTunes at Tributaries Radio. I'm Robin Clare. Thanks for staying tuned.